right. Well, good morning and welcome to WJBM Local Spotlight. This morning we have with me Ben Getten, State's Attorney, Jersey County. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks, Chris, for having me, buddy.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. Now, you've been a State's Attorney for how long now?
Man, it's almost 17 years.
Oh, my God.
I know.
17 years.
I know.
When did you start? Right out of high school?
Well, right out of law school, yeah. So Mike McDonald was State's Attorney at the time, and he was going to retire. So I moved back. I was going to school up in Chicago. I was probably going to stay up there. And then Mike made the decision that he wasn't going to run for another term, and I thought there's an opportunity. Always wanted to do this. It's why I went to college. It's why I went to law school, got a criminal justice degree. Graduated from law school, and it just, you know, timing, man, and that's kind of politics, so
yeah,
it worked out.
That's, you're really fortunate that it was able to work out like that.
Absolutely, you know what I mean? Absolutely.
Especially to be here in Jersey County. And your dad, State's Attorney in Carrollton for many years, or Greene County for many years.
Yeah, Norby, he was State's Attorney in Greene County for, nearly as long as I am now. I think I've served a little longer than he has, and then he went on to be director of a state agency for another 17 years, so a life's work in public service. Brother Matt was State's Attorney in Greene County, served Greene County for almost 8 years, I think, and now he's serving our military. He's a JAG officer with the Air Force. He's out in Colorado Springs currently serving the United States. We're pretty proud of him.
Yeah, I heard that. That's great. Yeah. Matt's great guy. He used to work for me years ago. So did Johnny.
I remember it, buddy. Yeah. I remember it.
Yeah. God. Long time ago.
I don't know how you made it through.
Yeah, and Brother Nate, he's working in the conservation department.
Brother Nate works for IDNR, and he is currently the interim supervisor at Pierre Marquette State Park. He's hoping to get that permanent position, and
Well, yeah, that's great.
Might have a getting down at the park.
So he is down there running the park right now.
Running the park.
And he's running the hotel part of it?
Well, I think that's contracted out. So I think some other company or individuals run that. He's probably more so just, you know, forestry, wildlife and all that sort of stuff.
So is he living down here now?
He lives in Carrollton currently. Now, I think there may be a residence that would pop up on the park. I don't know that he may have access to. I'm not sure, but right now he's living in Carrollton. Once he gets the permanent position, though, I think he's going to move to Grafton.
Hey, before we get into, you know, you telling us the ins and outs, what's going on at your job, who helps you there at the office? Who do you got working for you?
Kevin Teller has been the assistant state's attorney in Jersey County for 20 plus years.
Really?
He is an incredible asset to this county. He lives in Glen Carbon. He doesn't live here locally, wasn't from here. Mary Kerback hired Kevin way back when she was state's attorney. Mm-hmm. He was a young prosecutor. And, you know, Kevin's been the sidekick there for three prosecutors now. He does an excellent job. And then, of course, you know, my staff, just my staff run, they run everything. They take really good care of us. Can't take a hell of a lot of credit, actually.
Well, so what is your day-to-day duties as far as what do you have to look at every week? You go, well, we got this to do. What's some of the major things that you have to contend with?
Yeah, so, I mean, every day's different, Chris. That's what I love about the job. You know, it's not a cubicle gig. So when I walk into the office every morning, I've got a stack of reports typically of what happened the night before. Mondays are always the busiest day typically. And then every day we have different things scheduled. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are typically court days. Thursday, Fridays are more administrative days. I typically will go over to City Hall every morning and have coffee with the chief of police, assistant chief. The mayor's there occasionally just to kind of get a lowdown on what's going on, what happened the night before, and so forth. I'm in constant communication with the sheriff's department, whether that be with Sheriff Manns or anyone under him. So, yeah, man, you just take it as it comes. It's a 24/7 gig. I get calls at 3 a.m. in the morning. You know, if I need to give some direction to a deputy or an officer on whether they can enter a residence or say they have somebody in custody, do I need to bring them in? If we need a search warrant, then we've got to get up to the courthouse, draft a search warrant. So it's all the time, man. No day is any different than the other than we typically have 3 days of court scheduled and then 2 days where we just kind of handle business.
So how about that fentanyl issue? You know, what's going on when I hear about all the drugs and things that I know it's not really maybe heavy here in Jersey County. I'm not sure. You can let me in on that.
Yeah, it's getting, fentanyl's always been that's the killer, man, literally. So dealers are now cutting, whether it be heroin, cocaine, or methamphetamine with fentanyl. It's just a stronger dosage and it's cheap, and they cut it to make their product way more so they can sell it for more. The problem is it's lethal. We saw an uptick with heroin probably a year or two ago. It got really bad, and that was as a result of all the pain medications. You remember all that, mm-hmm. with Purdue Pharma and the Oxycontin, hydrocodone. That got to be really bad. Well, when folks couldn't get that hydrocodone, Oxycontin anymore, they moved on to heroin. That was just the next best thing, and it's cheap, and it was readily available. We've pushed that aside somewhat. Now, fentanyl is still a problem now, so meth and cocaine are making a strong comeback, but fentanyl's still there. It's always there because they cut their product with it. The methamphetamine's coming out of Mexico. It's super cheap. They used to cook it. You know, you heard about shake and bake, and mm-hmm. The farmers were losing tanks of what they spray the fields with, because that's what was utilized to make the product. Mm-hmm. So nobody makes their own meth anymore. It's too cheap coming out of Mexico.
I see.
Yeah.
Yep. So do we have people actually making that stuff here in the county?
No. Our proximity to the Metro East area and just St. Louis, nobody has to make it here. They just make runs. Anybody that's dealing it, typically...
Yeah, give us the info on that. What's going on?
How it works is somebody who's running over to St. Louis, I mean, they'll run over to... And they'll buy product to feed their own habit, for instance. So somebody will give them $100, $200. Well, they'll make a trip over and get their daily fix, and it's just... It's nonstop. So nothing's being produced here in Jersey County. I tell people all the time, you know, when people come to me and say, what's happening in our community? I tell them, we are so fortunate. Per capita, we have some of the lowest numbers in the state of Illinois as far as, you know, just criminal stuff, recidivism, you know, child sex offender registrations in our county and in our city are super low in comparison to places around us. So we sit pretty well. We've got a fantastic community. We have great schools, great businesses, and our crime rates are relatively low in compared to similarly situated counties and cities.
What do you think the reasons for that? What would you say?
I mean,
when you say counties and cities compared to a neighboring county?
Yeah, sure. Compared to, so let's say Macoupin County, what are we, Chris, we're probably 26,000 in Jersey County.
Right.
So you think about, comparatively speaking, any other county, and I say Macoupin just because it's an adjoining county. Now, there's a major highway that goes through there, so that kicks things up. But, you know, they have homicides annually. The last homicide my office prosecuted was the first degree murder of a child, which was a horrific event. And then, you know, we have drug induced homicides on occasion, but for the most part, violent crime doesn't happen here. It just doesn't happen here. We see violent crime within families a mm-hmm. lot with domestic batteries and so forth. That's probably the biggest hurdle we deal with. In any collateral crimes with drug related people that are breaking into residences or businesses to steal money and so forth.
Do we have a pretty high rate or comparison with officers compared to citizens than other places?
As far as numbers, that's a great question, Chris. Probably better left to the sheriff or the chief as far as, what kind of per capita officer population.
Yeah, I was just wondering, I mean, we do have a small population, but we do have plenty of officers around.
Yeah. We do, and let me tell you real quick about what Sheriff Manns, and I hope you have Nick on at some point, he implemented this districting of the county. So now each one of his deputies is assigned to a district, and the sheriff, when he got in office, said, you're going to go to every household in the district that you represent as a sheriff's deputy. You're going to knock on every door. You're going to introduce yourself. You're going to give them your card. You're going to let them know if they need anything to reach out to them. I think that's fantastic community policing. Mm-hmm. I think it's showed we've had a lot of uptick in calls, just anonymous calls reporting crimes and so forth. So that was a good initiative there. And I know they do a great job here in the city. I mean, when you talk about lower numbers in crime rates, you've got to give all the credit to the local law enforcement. I'm telling you, Jerseyville, Jersey County, in Grafton City as well.
Yeah, we have a great police staff. I mean, Brad runs a great shop.
Yes, he does.
And he's so mild-mannered, you know. But he just is so great.
Brad, we have this conversation all the time. You will never see Chief Blackerby running after a news truck. He wants to come to work. He wants to do his job. And that's huge, you know. It's there's something to be said about just quiet leadership like that. And his number two, and Scott Wolfel is the assistant chief.
Yes.
Just fantastic. I mean, they've handed over some fantastic cases for prosecution. So just couldn't be more proud of them and appreciative.
So we have an election, or I guess the primaries are coming up in March.
Yep.
And you'll be on the ballot again this time?
I won't be on the primary ballot, Chris. I
won't have to be.
No, I don't know. I put a statement out some months ago. I'm going to run as an independent next year. And for various reasons, man. I've ran as a Democrat for many years.
Well, your family's been Democrat.
Family's
forever.
Been Democrat for, you know, that was a conversation I needed to have with my father before I ultimately made the decision. The Democrat Party's been really good to my family, and I still have, there are core values that I have that I share with the Democrat Party, and I'll continue to support candidates that support those issues. But I can do that in a general election without pulling a primary ballot. I can vote for a Republican if I feel they're a better candidate. That's what there's a lot of freedom in this, being an independent. And I want people out there to know, you know, law enforcement, politics should never come into play. There should be a constitutional amendment that makes county government nonpartisan. You know, the city officials, you don't have to declare a party. Chris,
right.
I mean, you know that. You didn't have to pull a Democrat or Republican petition to run for office.
I think you're right on that.
It's the way to go, man. I mean, I couldn't tell you what any city council member's politics are.
Right.
You know, and if you're voting for somebody because they have an R or D by their name, that's just the wrong idea.
Well, what happened that made you change?
It's been a gradual change, but the kind of the straw that broke the camel's back was the Safety Act that came into effect September 18th, I think was the date, where cash bond was eliminated.
Yes, kind of give us a briefing on that.
Well, yeah, so
a lot of people heard about that.
It's a 700-page document, so the main part is the cash bond situation. Also, now there are only a certain amount of detainable offenses, so it has to be a fairly serious violent offense for us to even attempt to detain someone in jail. Currently, if you get busted with a pile of heroin or cocaine, they write you a ticket and give you a court date and say, have a nice day. Hope to see you at court.
Right now, that's happening.
That's how it happens. That's how it happens. Now, if they don't come to court, we used to be able to say, Judge, we have a failure to appear here. I'd like a warrant on this individual so we can go pick him up. That doesn't happen anymore. Now we have to send them another notice, say, hey, sorry you missed court, here's your new date. And I think we have to do that three times before we can ultimately get some warrant or detainment on them. So that's the baseline issue I have with it. That was
and
pushed.
Understandably so.
Yeah. And that legislation was jammed down our throats, by the Democrat caucus, mainly up in Chicago. They had these issues
tell us about it.
So here's the bottom line. In Cook County, you had people sitting in jail for 2 years on a misdemeanor on pretrial. They'd never even had an arraignment. They were sitting in jail for 12 months without even seeing a judge or talking to a defense attorney. We don't have those problems here. The problems of places like Cook County are not problems here. So we as an association, State's Attorneys Association, worked hand in hand with the legislature to try to tailor this law to make more sense, especially for downstate.
Mm-hmm.
We thought we came to an agreement, and at the 11th hour, and I mean the 11th hour, at midnight, they decided what we agreed upon wasn't worth their time, and I think the legislation pushed through the House at 4 a.m., something like that.
Do you think it'll stick? Do you think it'll get changed?
It's already starting to gradually change. I think probably in a year, it's going to be unrecognizable from the original legislation. Here's the problem with the legislation as it sits now. Without cash bonds, small counties like ours. So for instance, if you get picked up on a misdemeanor charge, say a criminal trespass or a criminal damage to property, you'd have to post like $200-$300 cash. We would have that money there available, so when you pled guilty or were found guilty, we could use that money to pay your fines and court costs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fines and court costs go to the county for operation of day-to-day, you know, day-to-day business. That money's gone. So basically, the state has taken away our ability to have money readily available to operate. So I think the big hole is going to be a financial one. The state's going to have to subsidize these smaller counties somehow because we don't have money anymore. If you get the public defender now under the Safety Act, you don't have to pay for anything. You don't have to pay assessments, court costs, nothing. You get a free attorney and you don't have to pay for anything. So there's a lot of problems with it, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're dealing with it. I'm not a pessimistic guy. I like to be optimistic about it. We're dealing with the issues. Sheriff, chiefs, Judge Lorton doing a fantastic job on the bench. Starts at the top. She sets the tone, and we're gonna make Jersey County a safe place. Period. It is a safe place. Great place to raise a family.
Yeah. Continue, and we'll be for a long time. Hopefully. Okay. Well, any message to the citizens of Jersey County that you'd like to just share at this time?
Oh, man. What a great place, man. What a great place.
Anything they can do to help out you? Help out the police or anything? Any info you can just...
Yeah, first of all, I want everyone that lives here to be proud to be a Jersey County resident. I'm a proud person to be a Jersey County resident. I've been here in office for 17 years. For 6 years prior to that, I was in politics basically and trying to help folks that would be good for the county be elected. I have never seen a better slate of public officials than I see today. The professionalism each one of the offices, so people need to be optimistic about that, man. The future's definitely bright. We've got great people in positions. So that's what I would say. As far as helping everyone out, you see something, give somebody a heads up about it. I mean, I know the sheriff and the chief, they probably have social media outlets that people can, on Facebook or whatever else, can reach out. So, you know, if you know somebody's got a problem, reach out anonymously. We'll help. That's what we're there for. We're not about putting people in jail, Chris. That's not what this job's about. No, it's about rehabilitation, getting people back to work, you know, get them to be contributing to society, and that's what it's about. That's what we want to do.
Well, Ben, thanks so much for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
See you soon.
Good luck.
Okay.